What's good, listeners? Welcome to the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. Good morning, Marissa. How's it going, fam?
Oh my gosh, it is going.
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, there's a lot of, it was kind of a slow week, but you know what really kind of stuck out with me, throughout it was, did you hear anything about Circle K? And this is not like a self-promotion for Circle K. I mean, did you hear what's going on at these gas stations, Marissa?
I did, but tell the listeners in case they
don't. Oh my gosh, I guess the
trip.
It is quite a trip. I mean, Green Thumb Industries is partnering up with Circle K gas stations, and they're going to be soon making the devil's lettuce more mainstream by bringing marijuana to gas stations. And, you know, I was quite shocked, Marissa. I'm not going to lie. Out of all the states to get this thing going, I don't even think the listening audience would even have a fair shot at even being able to figure out what the state is.
I guessed Colorado, and I was way wrong.
But it was Florida, out of all places, which was kind of crazy. And, you know, they are partnering up with Green Thumb Industries, which is one of the largest U.S. cannabis producers, to sell licensed marijuana at Florida gasoline retailers. But also, I know that there's a lot of hype. I mean, there's kind of rumble happening this morning, Marissa, because there are rumors that Rockstar Games is going to be finally, after like 15 years, finally releasing the gameplay trailer for Grand Theft Auto 6. I really think it's going to happen today. I mean, I have the PS Premium account.
You're already, aren't you?
It's like, I won't be able to play it, obviously. But what I was trying to get at is, you know, they allowed Grand Theft Auto Vice City, the remastered edition, to be on the PS Premium. And it kind of made me feel like, why is this the stars aligning? Make sure you like and subscribe to the Chris Collins Show so you never miss a live show. And I just want to let you guys know, we got a great show. It is completely jam-packed because joining us on Just Talking is Triple Threat Paul Schuler to discuss his psychodrama film, Red River Road, as well as Strike a Chord artist, Bring the Hoax, all the way out from Stockholm, Sweden. I always love doing these across the pond conversations. Also, don't forget to check out our music podcast called Off the Fret, more music talk, featuring emo rocker Anson as our sixth installment. And guys, I might as well let you know this now, too. I just finished up wrapping up an interview section for our seventh interview with the one and only Los Angeles Rockers, Poe the Passenger. And Marissa, I got to bring you on camera real quickly. Turn your camera back on.
Yeah.
Because you know what's so amazing since the last time we spoke with them before we go in to say it?
What?
1 month into that debuted LP, they got 1 million streams online.
What?
1 million streams. So exactly what we said, they're the real deal.
You guys are
not going to want to miss this interview. It is so much fun. But hey, we got a show for everybody. So it's time to rock and roll. What's good, listeners? Our guest on Just Talking is Triple Threat director, writer, and actor Paul Schuler to discuss his psychodrama film, Red River Road, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. How's it going, fam?
It's going good. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Paul. Hey,
absolutely. It's good seeing you, Paul. And before we even begin our conversation, let's go ahead and play the teaser trailer now for Red River Road.
What day is it today?
Thursday.
Do you know the date?
No, I don't know the date.
I don't know the date either.
It's just us, Mom.
How do you know it's real?
Because this feels real to me. Doesn't this feel real to you?
Baby, this has been over for months, and we're stranded out here. We have no idea what's going on. How would we know?
I can't find your father.
What are they taking from us?
Everything.
We always said that if the powers that be wanted to take full control, that this is how they would do it.
There's thousands of people communicating. They have been for months.
You can't listen to this. We could all be infected by now.
Should you do this?
We need to know.
You're not real. I remember.
Oh, man, it is so freaking intense. Congrats on the film, Paul. And for anybody that was just watching that trailer right now, what can you tell them about this film?
So it's a pandemic movie. We shot it during the pandemic. Only this pandemic spreads electronically to the internet and distorts your ability to perceive reality. So it's one of those, I just take you down the wormhole with them.
As so you're basically shrooming through the internet?
Yeah, that's what I feel like you're getting at. Right,
I think shrooms are way more fun.
Unless you're on a bad acid trip, that is true. Shrooms are a lot of fun. Acid, sometimes not so good.
Well, Red River Road is not necessarily like a jump out of your seat thriller, but it had me kind of scratching my head and kind of pulling out my mustache a little bit throughout the entire film. So how would you describe your style of screenwriting? Because it worked out so well on screen.
You know, I write sort of in different voices at different times. And this one just felt like it wanted to evolve slowly. My whole intention was, you don't know how tight the noose is until it's already around your neck. That was sort of the vibe that I wanted, or the pace that we wanted to go to. And it never really lets up. You know, you kind of ease into it and you think, well, I'm just watching this family go about their business. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're on the downhill part of the roller coaster with it. And that's
it's definitely got that slow burn feel, but I'm telling you, that second half, oh my gosh, it is like a roller coaster. It's definitely going to keep
perfect
in. Wait for that dropout.
Halloween nights when you want to put those scary movies in, that is a perfect movie to watch.
Yeah,
it's
also built to keep the conversation going. Like, it's built for you to kind of make up what happens, and the person sitting next to you might have a completely different movie they saw. And you can
you absolutely definitely 100%. Get that feeling. I'm biting my tongue because you the CCS family, you have to check out the film for yourself. And then, you know, if you want to come into my DMs, you want to have that conversation, feel free. Let's have it. But hey, Paul, are you aware of the following phrase? I'm the boss in this house and I have my wife's permission to say so.
Yes.
So, the reason why I had to bring this up is your whole family are the stars in Red River Road. And how was it like to direct your wife and kids in this film?
Well, my wife and I met in acting class. I know that's such a cliche. And it took us a year to figure out that we were in love with each other because we just worked so well together. We did every scene together. I'd either direct her in something or we'd be in a scene together. We start writing things together, and it's just been it's sort of what brought us together. So on the one hand, it's super easy because it's what we do, but when we fight or we disagree, we're passionate people. It gets super intense. Our kids actually had to step in and play ref, like, hey, we have to behave ourselves in front of, you know, things got.
Well, that's kind of fascinating that you're saying that, Paul, because my first reaction is, are your kids trained actors, or did they just have to kind of like jump into the moment and was like, man, we're kind of making this happen, I guess, during the pandemic. Settle down, mom and dad.
No, they were blessed to be on Cape Cod where there's great theater, great live theater. And so they grew up in the theater. They've been trained. They've been on stage a ton of times. They've done movies. So yeah. Their whole thing, though, was they just wanted to be playing Rust, you know?
Video games, you know? They like to be with their
Legion 5.
I guess there is a little bit of that that parlay with the mix because, you know, it's always, you know, us generation, that's our intention to jump online immediately if anything hits the fan. But we don't want to give away too much. But Paul, when you decided to write and direct and act, and again, you edited it, and you did the cinematography, which is insane. I think we need to come up with a whole new terminology, Marissa. I'm not quite sure what that's going to be quite yet, but we are literally talking to a living legend himself, Paul Schuler. And,
Skyler. It's Skyler.
Skyler?
Skyler. Yeah.
Ah, okay. Because I got the impression, that is so freaking insane. And I'm even seeing in your background right now, you are literally living on set. And I think that is so freaking cool. And I don't often get to talk to triple threats like yourself. So what's tougher? Is it the writing? Is it the acting or the directing?
I think, honestly, the sound design is the hardest because there's so much minutia to it. As far as the different aspects of it, I just put on a different hat. You know, writing is a very isolated thing. Directing is a very people solving problems. It's very engaged. Then it's back into the dungeon to edit, which is sort of like editing too. You kind of rewrite the story as you go along. So yeah, I just shift into different perspectives. And the acting, I really, since I wrote the character, I had a real sense of who he was. So it was easy to just go, all right, I got the camera set up. This is where we're going to be. I block everybody else. And it's like, go.
So,
and I.
So did you write with the editing in mind then? Because I know other like writers who do their editing too on there, and they'll write already thinking about the editing. Did you do that? Or in the editing floor, did you find things like that doesn't work and start cutting?
I don't. I write to write. I just want to exist in the situation and the story and let the characters sort of decide what's going to happen. And I have a sense plot wise where I want it to go, but sometimes they take me in a different direction. So I'm very free. The only limitation I had was we got to be in the house and it's just the four of us. That's my limitation. Directing, I'm just out there to gather as much stuff, as much material as I can get. Cause I know the script in the editing room is just going to be sort of a vague outline. What did the performances now bring? That's going to sort of shift.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I was going to say, Paul, I don't mean to cut you off, but it's like, you know, every blockbuster film has to go through these hurdles and roadblocks to make their moving pictures a reality. And what challenges did you experience on this film? I mean, when you were saying the sound, was it more, did you have to go through like a whole ADR process? Was like every dialogue completely butchered? Is that what you were saying during the film session?
So they're isolated. And there's not supposed to be any people around. And even on Cape Cod in the middle of a pandemic, anytime we decided to shoot, you could hear lawnmowers or leaf
blowers. So I was about to say the lawnmower must have been going.
I mean, everyone's like, I'm going to take care of my lawn now. So it really screwed us up. So to create that sense of silence, I had to build all that from either.
So, so how did you have to navigate through these production realities?
Yeah, it's just, you got to be flexible. You know, you got to have plan B, C, D, all the way down.
And what were those plans?
Did you ever go down to like a neighbor and just be like, hey, dog, I'm shooting right now. Can you just lay off on it? Because I've been on sets and we've done that. We're like, hey, excuse me. Can you just stop for 5 minutes?
Yeah, that's a real reality.
Yeah, I know. We were too small to be implied about
it. No, I think, Paul, what you're trying to say is I don't want to piss off the neighbor because you're trying to have a couple more shoots at the house.
Yeah. The only thing I did tell him was like, hey, we're filming a movie. So if you hear a lot of screaming and yelling more than normal from coming from house, don't call the cops.
Oh, I'm so glad you warned them. I was in a film and we didn't warn the neighbors. No, my kid gets killed. And so I come running out screaming and I'm holding the child actor screaming bloody murder, and the neighbors didn't know. And they came out, one called the cops. Like, it was a huge thing because they honestly thought like a kid got hit and I saw it.
Yeah. They had that recently in New York where they had, actors who were dressed up as firefighters when a fire was literally across the street. And they're just standing there like, I don't know what you want us to do. Which I think is hilarious. But Paul, in Red River Road, the family is isolating themselves against a global pandemic that spreads through the internet and robs the person of their ability to perceive reality. And was this a direct shot towards Dr. Fauci and the pandemic?
You know, I get asked this question a lot about the political message. And honestly, I just made it this, I wanted to isolate them, and I figured if you take away the internet or their connection to the outside world, they're really isolated. So it's more of like the thing where it's that paranoia that grows out of being stuck together. Obviously, it was simmering in the back of my mind and it just came through. So it's there. I'm not going to deny that there's not sort of like the echo chamber that we live in currently with social media, et cetera, so forth. But I didn't mean it to be a sledgehammer or to lead with that. So like I said, the film is built so that you can bring yourself to it and reflect your own.
Oh, trust me, you bring yourself into it because we all lived through it. I mean, the film definitely came out like at the perfect time during the worst time in our lives. So I think that's why your film has been working out so well, and it's been getting that great reception from all kinds of movie critics out there. And do you view, you know, technology as an opportunity or a threat?
I think it's like anything else. It's just got to be wielded with some responsibility. You know, you just have to take responsibility for how you're using it. I mean, as far as it being a tool, it's incredible. the way people can collaborate and communicate is the greatest it's ever been in existence. But with that comes a lot of, you know, openness to abuse it or just mm-hmm. not use it responsibly, like alcohol or owning a gun, something like that. It's like, you gotta, you know, you gotta sort of self-monitor yourself and go, am I treating this healthily? Am I treating it the way it's supposed to be treated?
Oh yeah, and absolutely.
Also have people around you that can help you self-monitor, because it doesn't help. Like I said, I know Ye's in the news right now about buying Parler and this and that, and there's nobody in his circle to help him self-monitor. Right. So sometimes you gotta listen to that buddy.
Yeah, Marissa,
there's no one there to say no, and they just go off the deep end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, right? both of you guys are getting exactly to my point, because like for me, you know, we've reached a saturation point. I mean, we got every celebrity and sports athlete, you know, doing their podcast. And now, just like how Marissa just referenced, Kanye West, often known as Ye nowadays, he just acquired Parler. And so if Kanye West comes to own Parler and, you know, and Elon Musk takes the reign on Twitter, will people connect in a meaningful way? Or is this like a bull that's just impossible to lasso?
I think people will do what they're naturally driven to do. I think there are plenty of people that use these tools in a responsible way to communicate accordingly. There's always going to be people that just want to believe what they want to believe or gives them, you know, the opportunity to do that, that they might not otherwise have. But at the end of the day, it's about, you know, responsibility to yourself, taking responsibility.
Have as a parent, because I know we're talking about social media, have you had any issues with your kids and their use of social media? Because that's one thing we always talk about with kids and the depression and their influences is, where's the parent? Where are they stepping in? So have you had any talks or issues with your kids about social media and how to responsibly use it?
You know, we always drilled that into them. And to be fair, because they had the theater, they were into sports, there was a lot of external stuff. They craved meeting in person, you know, having that, like, I want to go hang out with my friends. So it seemed that they used it really sparingly. And I don't know if that's just because from day one, we sort of drilled it like, hey, this isn't just some free for all here. You got to be present on planet Earth with your
feet. Well, I think you were connecting them with community. Humans crave human touch and interaction. And if you're not getting that in the real sense, then you do turn to the social media. And then that's that warped reality.
Right.
Which is a lot about your film.
You know, you get home after work, it's like, I don't really want to go out. You know, you got to kind of force yourself to go out. So it is easy to jump on Zoom or jump on Rust or any of those online player games. And there is community, you know, I'm not going to deny that, especially in the pandemic when they couldn't see people and they had that. Thank God they had that, you know, to stay in touch and feel that sense, even though it was a little bit removed.
Absolutely. And, you know, Paul, I want to have some fun with you, because if you had the opportunity to remake a classic, because that just seems like what everybody wants to do in the industry nowadays, which one would you go for?
You know, I would never want to show to people, because the original is perfect in every way. I would just want to do it to do it. And that would be to remake Jaws, because it's my favorite film.
Oh,
that is the scariest film ever.
See, I was not actually expecting that answer out of you. And I think Jaws.
It's he's from Cape Cod.
I live in Jaws.
I know. There's all the buildings are there. Like, you got easy access.
it just seems like in this new decade, Paul, like the cinematic world is like inundated with remakes taking over the scene. I mean, for myself personally, I find it to be a bit problematic, as I feel like it doesn't allow the next rising great superstar to get his work out there into the mix.
Or her work.
That's true too. Well, we don't question pronouns. No, we don't question pronouns on the Chris Collins. Dang it, Marissa. Much love, Marissa. that's my co-host looking out for me, fam. But hey, what's your message to make it in the film world?
You know, it's tough. I started when it was just film, and then like home video was kind of a minor thing. So your only chance was, if you got to Sundance and somebody picked it up and put it out in a movie theater, then you probably had a career. Now there's so many outlets. You got YouTube, you got Vimeo, you've got all these small distribution companies, you've got streaming services. So this movie is my calling card. I can get it out there. Hopefully somebody sees it. But at the end of the day, it's still like, if you don't get into Sundance or TIFF or one of the huge festivals and get Apple in a bidding war on you, you're probably gonna have to make one, two, maybe three little indie movies until something rises above, you know, sort of the noise of how much product is out there.
And do you think go for it, Paul.
I was gonna say, at the end of the day, have a good story.
Yeah.
Stories what people crave. There's a ton of content out there, and a lot of it feels flat. It feels recycled. It feels padded. Like binging TV series now, it's like, let's go. Episode to flesh out this thing that's really meaningless. And it's, I think people are getting so oversaturated and exhausted by it that when something comes along that's tight and it moves and it tells a story with characters that you care about, it's going to jump out.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the film festival scene? Because I kind of feel like there's so many of them nowadays that a lot of the times I feel like it doesn't serve the purpose of what a film festival was all about in general, was really kind of giving your film that exposure. Do you feel the same way?
To some degree, I do. I think it is an opportunity. Like, I'm lucky enough, I run the movie theater here in town. So Red River Road did a four-week.
So they are forced to watch it.
Yeah. Or you're going to get thrown in with the sharks.
All you're able to see is Red River Road.
So I get to see myself on the big screen, which is how I mean it to be. For a lot of these filmmakers, film festival is the only chance they're ever going to have to see it on the big screen and really get to enjoy it and have an audience. So with that regard, it's awesome. In terms of promoting people or getting them out there, not so much. I mean, Sundance, honestly, it's corporatized. It's those movies are already pushed by distributors or studios. Maybe one.
They've had back deals before they even were shown. There were back deals already in there.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody's always tied to a certain entity or a studio front. And, you know, why do you think A24 is always referenced at Sundance?
Of course.
And, come on, you know, now. let's be real. And, you know, just to kind of wrap up this conversation, you've been so awesome, Paul. Yeah. But, you know, this is always something that stuck with me because, you know, I went 8 years in film school, my undergrad and grad school at Cal State LA, and I always treasure my time with them. But I always feel like, do you have to go to film school to learn this kind of knowledge to be the triple threat that you are today?
No. When I started, it was film and mag reels, and it was a real technical thing. So you had to learn those things, and there was no YouTube to do it. Now I just tell people, save your money because you're going to need it to shoot something. Everything you need to know is either on a DVD extra. Just watch any David Fincher movie extras. He gives a whole film course every time he does one. It's all on YouTube. And then just watch a ton of great movies. And if you like a movie, figure out who that director was influenced by and then go back in history until you trace all the way to the roots. That's going to give you everything you need to know about how to tell stories visually, how to construct a story. Yeah.
That's
I feel like I'm talking to Elon Musk. Elon said the same thing. He's like, why go to college when you can just go on YouTube?
Paul,
a lot of the great lessons are on there.
And I have to say, Paul, you're the first director to actually talk about the lineage of where you're getting your influences from and to look at that. So kudos on that. That one's brilliant.
And Paul, you know, thank you again for...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, say it one more time, Paul. Real quickly. We're running out of time.
Spielberg was my boy until I discovered Kurosawa. And I was like, oh, that's where it came from. And that started the journey.
No, that is amazing. And Paul Schuller, I can't thank you enough for joining the Chris Skyler. Collins Show, Millennial Talk
say
Show.
Say his last name wrong.
What?
Paul Skyler.
Oh, Skyler.
I got you.
Why did I think it was Julie? My apologies.
Hey, co-host got you there.
I got you, fam. But hey, go ahead and check out his remarkable film. It's called Red River Road. And where can they find that out on demand?
It's on all the major VOD streaming platforms, Vudu, Amazon, Apple, Google Play. Yeah.
All right, rock and roll. And sorry for butchering your last name. I can't believe I did that.
Everybody
that
is freaking hilarious. No worries.
I don't know where I got this information from. I'm just have to go and blame the corporate head in my brain.
Have a great
rest of your day, my friend. And stick around, CCS family. More left on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. Hey, what's good? This is Strike a Chord, and our guests are indie rockers from Stockholm, Sweden. They are Bring the Hoax, live on the Chris College Show Millennial Talk Show. Also, check out our sixth installment of Off the Fret, More Music Talk, featuring emo rockers Anson, out now on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And we got the gentlemen here themselves from across the pod. So Bring the Hoax, how's it going, fam?
Hi.
Hi, it's going great.
That's what's up.
I just want to say from the very top, Chris, you guys look like twins. Like, you should be in there with them. Yeah, you have the same glasses. You have a mustache. Where's your plaid shirt, Chris?
Carl, I don't know what's going on. I think there can only be one amigo, just like how they say there can only be one fedora in the group. No, you guys are amazing. We love you guys. And the band Bring the Hoax is as fresh as a coat of wet pink. And how did the band get started?
You tell, Kelly.
I mean me and Hasse we known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
And we love indie rock and red wine. So I think like red wine and
hey, I said a why. Those are two things I love too.
Who knew that indie rock and red wine would just parlor up so well?
They do parlor so well. I love that.
And how would you guys describe Bring the Hoax's sound?
Oh, fuzzy guitars, cute but firm melodies.
Yeah,
somewhat catchy.
Fuzzy guitars, cute with firm melodies. Oh, I like that. You guys sound like a plush toy.
It's like a candy bag.
Like a candy bar, but what kind of candy bar? Because awesome. Are you going to be like a hard Butterfinger? Are you a Kit Kat? Or do you bring us a little bit of that crunch?
No, I think it's a hard shell, and then when you bite, it's a smooth.
It's a Milky Way.
I like that. Well, see,
more Snickers.
You gotta throw those nuts in there, huh?
They are quite the Molly crew. But they do have Sarah in the group. She's gotta hold all those nuts intact. That's
the caramel.
Totally inappropriate, Marissa. Totally inappropriate. But hey, I know that we love your guys' singles, and you guys got an amazing music video out right now that's called Jonestown, which, like you just said, you know, it's got those killer, you know, fuzzy guitars. It's got that sweet melodies that comes across as kind of, you know, very uplifting, but then once you kind of get into, you know, the lyrical content, it's kind of got a deeper message in the end. So like, why did you guys want to bring up that correlation with today's society and that infamous Jonestown massacre that the band suggests?
I mean today's society, it's a lot of with Instagram and social media. And there's a lot of you need to do this and that. And I think people stop thinking a bit. You can't everything is not, you can't say that everything is true. And that's a big problem in the world today. I think that the media is a part of.
The whole thing about your own self-worth and self-esteem and how you just, you don't look into yourself and what am I worth? You only look on Instagram or what am I worth comparing to all of these successful, wonderful people I see every day on Instagram?
Do you believe our generation is like lacking in seeking out the truth on social media because of these presence of these so-called prophets such as Kanye West, for example?
Yeah, that's a good
idea. Like the whole side was just like, yeah.
No, but yeah, you're very true there, that people are lazy and they don't tend to search out the truth, maybe because it's so there. You have a truth that you don't really question.
Yeah.
You know what? There's another truth that I tend to not question, and that is the fact that, Carl, I can't compete with you any longer. As you can clearly see right here, I think it's time to really kind of get things going because I can't compete with you anymore. I gotta get rid of this right now.
No, really?
I really can't do this anymore. This is a new look for me. Really? I think there could only be one Swede. And there's only one fedora in the group. So now that we really set the tone.
You and Haas aren't even twins anymore.
No, we're not twins anymore because he rocks it. You don't want to be matched up. Like, honestly, that beard looks so freaking sexy on you. I can't compete. But now I'm feeling like as smooth as a baby's ass. So I'm feeling pretty good right about now. And you should too, CCS family, because Bring the Hoax, they are ready. And this is an amazing music video that we're about to be playing right now. This song is called Jonestown, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show.
Came back, I don't need a second view. Came back, I know what you told can't be true. Just so you know, I don't wanna play your old games. So don't leave your pain. I don't wanna see you around at the Jonestown Square tonight.
That's what's good. That is Bring the Hoax, and that is their music video, Jonestown, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. And boys, go ahead and turn back on your guys' audio because we'd love to have you guys back on. But I guess before I even get into my more professional questions, do you approve of my new look? Do I look good?
Yeah.
Do I look good? I feel like I'm looking good.
Did you shave that during the video?
What's that now?
Did you shave that during the video?
I did shave that dirt. Well, actually, I shaved it just before the music video because I just, it, you know, it just wouldn't be the right thing to do to be, you know, shaving it off camera. I got to do it live for the people, baby. Live for the people. No, you guys are incredible. I think you should totally rock the mustache for the rest of the year. Hopefully you guys don't celebrate No Shave November because I'm liking the facial hair that's going on with Bring the Hoax. But hey, enough about me already. Let's go ahead and jump on into the band. And I know you guys are working on new material right now. So what works best for the band? I mean, is it writing the music first or is it coming up with the lyrical content?
I mean, we always start with the guitars.
Why does that come across a little bit easier in the world of song composition?
I mean, it's difficult to because when you start with the melody and then you adapt the lyrics to that. And I mean, for us, it's always like the thing we have the hardest with is the song melodies, like the vocals. That's what we always struggle with. How should you do with the vocals? Because the guitars, I mean, that's
just... Could you guys provide an example of how you guys had to work with the music to fit along with the lyrical content? For example, your guys' track Los Angeles that we're about to be playing on Strike Accord. Was there any kind of moments that you guys were kind of developing, for example, maybe the pre-verse or the chorus, where you're like, man, it's not necessarily sticking. How do we work around this?
That's a good, fun example because we always struggle very hard with lyrics on our songs, except for that song. We have never written a lyric as fast as we did on that.
And why did it come across or come with the nice flow for this one record, this one track?
No, I think we, Leaving LA just came out of my mouth when we were playing, and usually, later on when the song is finished we sit down and this lyric doesn't really fit, we need to go deeper, we're not giving you more poetical, but this time we just went, let's just keep it, it's fun. Leaving LA.
Yeah, because what I was reading about you guys online was you guys were writing your track Los Angeles about those really cold nights, you know, in Sweden, where, you know, you guys just want to desperately run away from the cold, the snow, and get into that summer, you know, breeze. And originally, you guys were dreaming about trips to Mexico. That because you guys started singing Los Angeles that you couldn't find anything that rhymed well with Mexico?
That's an interesting question. No, I think we originally the first verse only had words rhyming with Mexico. It was stereo. It was, I don't know. It was a whole words ending with O's, Leaving LA sounded better than leaving exactly. Stockholm.
And
Leaving LA does sound better. I'm gonna give this to you guys.
It's a really long trip to go from Stockholm to Mexico.
Yeah. yes, indeed. And do you guys have any big ambitions to leave your country to go across the pond to Mexico or LA?
Definitely,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what's up. I love that. And, you know, and I always like asking this question, too, because if you had the opportunity to live outside of Sweden, would you jump to the occasion?
Ooh.
They're like free healthcare, good environment.
Do you want to live in America, baby?
No gun violence.
Way to hype up America, Marissa. Jesus.
Hey, man.
People are getting gunned down every day.
No, I love Sweden.
America has the sex appeal. You will always have that.
Exactly. But you know what? The one thing
girl
we are
you don't
missing,
bring home.
Well, the one sex appeal we're definitely missing is the mustache, my friend. That's the one thing. You guys, you Swedes, are definitely rocking it a lot better than I would ever do. And, you know, I find this track, it's a beautiful record. It's a, let's go right on into it. I think this is the perfect time to let the CCS family know what's good. This is Bring the Hoax music video, Los Angeles, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's good. That is Bring the Hoax. And you can check out that record all over, you know, streaming services right now. And, you know, my question to you gentlemen is this something that Bring the Hoax is going to continue to do? Because I know this has kind of been a recent trend with a lot of artists where they're not releasing LPs and they would rather drop singles. Is that something that Bring the Hoax plans on doing moving forward?
No.
So what can you let us in on? I mean,
give us an EP date.
Yeah, I mean, is there an EP, LP, any secret releases or collabs?
we're definitely fans of the whole album concept of the later years back in the day. But no, we have an EP coming out next Friday on the 28th.
Oh, that's what's up. Yeah. I mean, what's the name of the EP?
Bring the Hoax.
Bring the Hoax. Hey, self-explanatory. I love it. I love when a band reps the album name as their album title. I think that is so freaking groovy. And I'm excited for it. I mean, listen, audience, you heard it first right here. And I know you guys have been around for, you know, for a quick second now. And I think that's so freaking amazing. I can't thank you guys enough. I know it's like almost 8 o'clock on your guys' time. So the fact that you guys are staying up for us, for the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show.
And
I know the CCS family loves you guys.
To do the interview.
So, that's true, too. A little bit sober.
Maybe a little bit.
Hey, they got the guitars behind them. They got to get ready to start shredding it right after this interview
session.
Get
that red wine.
But, you know, for anybody that wants to follow the band on social media, where can they find you guys?
Instagram, Facebook, you name it. Where do you want to find us?
Where you want to find us? I know you guys don't got a Twitter account, right?
No, it hasn't. Instagram and Facebook are your go-tos. If you
the massive go-tos. I mean, I'm kind of with them, Marissa.
I
feel like
I don't Twitter. I'm honest. I don't Twitter. I like Instagram. Twitter is just a shortened version of Facebook.
And so, you know, since you kind of let us in on the Bring the Hoax next Friday, EP's dropping, is there kind of like an album theme that you guys are trying to go for? I kind of noticed that you guys were always naming each song title like kind of after a place. Is that going to be like the running theme with this EP?
I got that question a lot.
We have a lot of like, yeah, we have some places, but we also work with years.
Yeah.
Oh, before BC?
No.
Okay, you keep it at AD. No, I think that's totally cool.
I got lost. I'm
sorry, I cut
off
your audio on
right
that
now.
One.
I don't know what just happened, but I just got totally lost.
Hey, don't worry about it, Marissa.
BC, AD, we're talking about deers. I don't know what's going on
over here. We're talking about the years, girl. We're talking about the years.
I thought you said deer. I was like, oh, okay, they're from Sweden, some deers.
Yeah, we got them.
You got those deers?
This is like the first time in a long time, gentlemen, I actually had to save my co-host from the confusion. It's usually me on my end. But
it's
you
always
guys,
that one time, Chris. It's always that one time.
It's always that one time. And guys, you know, we can't thank you enough for joining the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. And enjoy yourself. Enjoy the weekend. And hopefully we can talk to you guys again in the new year once you guys have been riding on that success with the brand new EP, Bring the Hoax. And these are the guys from Stockholm, Sweden themselves. Thank you, gentlemen, again for
Thank
joining
you.
Strike a Chord.
Yeah. Have a good one.
And for everybody that's watching us right now, stick around because we got so much more left on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. But we want to give a huge shout out to the amazing director, Paul. He has got an incredible film out there today that's called Red River Road. You can find that out now today on video on demand. Also, check out the guys all the way from across the pond. They are indie rockers from Stockholm, Sweden. Bring the Hoax. And they have their brand new EP literally called Bring the Hoax dropping next Friday. I can't believe that no one knew about this. I haven't even seen a single outlet about that. That gets me so excited that we, the CCS family, get to hear that first. And also, we got an amazing guest that's going to be joining us next week, fam. I'm beyond stoked for this, Marissa. Our guest on Strike a Chord are Philadelphia rockers Soraya to discuss their upcoming LP, Bloom, out on October 28th. And we're getting them the day the album drops. And let me tell you, these Philadelphia rockers, they are blowing it up on the Billboard charts with their single, I Seek Fire. It's top 30 on the rock charts. That is so freaking insane. And I know Jonah Jett, she actually gave a huge shout out to them. So that is freaking insane.
Yeah,
and
Joan
also,
Jett's pretty amazing.
Joan Jett. Yeah, I keep saying Jonah Jett. So funny. It's funny because my mom was like, you know, you keep saying Jonah. I'm like, what? Freaking Jonah Brothers? Jesus. But also follow us on social media by following our handle at Chris Collins Show for more updates on guest announcements, new interviews, and so much more. And also check out our sixth installment of Off the Fret, more music talk, featuring Anson. He's an incredible soul. And also, for 2 weeks from now, the seventh one's going to drop with LA Rockers, Poe the Passenger. So what are you waiting for? Go ahead and like and subscribe so you never miss an update from us. And if you like what you're listening to, go to thechriscollinsshow.com and become a member today and get that free CCS t-shirt for now. I will see you next week, fam. Peace. What's good, party people? Chris Collins Show presents Music Storm 2022, hosted by Chris Collins and Marissa Pitts, featuring Royals. There's got to be a better way. Hurricane Highway. Cannibal Kids. Amanda Cooksey. Astoria State. Kid Death. Resounding. Sleep Cycles. Avenues. Freckles. Weather Worn. Just True. Sophia Marie. Music Storm 2022. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. Peace. Our brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
I love it. It's more time to chat.
Hello.
You look so jazzy. I love your outfit.
How far would you go to start playing live music again?
This slaps harder than my ex when she got her stimulus check. So,
are you here to bring the sexual healing with your music? Oh, everything is everything, and I guarantee you're going to hear this song in the future. I love the flow, man. Politically charged album. So, if you get easily offended, this might not be the album for you. Brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
So excited.
Has Kim Kardashian accidentally sent you a coochie shot?
Do you want to stay there? It's completely your choice. Or you want to...
I feel you. And you know what? I love Off the Fret. More music talk. Peace. What's good? I'm Chris from The Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show, featuring Anson. Set to bridge early 2000s emo rock with today's mainstream stratosphere, amassing millions of streams online, joins Off the Fret. More music talk.